First, I'd just like to thank the many other people that were involved and agencies that contributed to the success of this project and the funding from the Gorgon NCB, of course. So, moving on, this project was about characterising regional patterns in seabed and reef biodiversity. And for reefs and the seabed, there were three main stages to the work. So the first stage was about acquiring the available existing data that were out there, large-scale biodiversity data, and conduct an initial biophysical regionalisation for the area, and use that information to help design new surveys of biodiversity on reefs and on the seabed. And then the last stage, obviously, analysing those new data to finalise a biophysical regionalisation and mapping of the region. And the idea was to try and get this done fairly early in the program so that the information could assist with design of sampling in some of the other projects. Okay, so first I'll talk about seabed and a bit later, hopefully, something about the reefs. So we acquired 44 environmental variables and through the area, mapped them to a 1 kilometre grid. These are just 9 of them out of those 44. Others included things like the NASA ocean colour variables from MODIS satellite. We actually got those from IMOS at 1 kilometre resolution, so that was cool. Okay, so we also, these are the large-scale biodiversity surveys that were available to us earlier in the project. So a lot of these are early CSIRO trawl surveys and CSIRO Northwest Shelf effects of trawling surveys. CSIRO also obtained lots of fish trawl data from the Russians as well, that goes back into the 1970s. So that covered a lot of the region to the north and offshore, and surveys, trawl and trap surveys from the Department of Fisheries from here and down in the southern end of the region, and some reef surveys from the Department of Environment. So each of these surveys was analysed separately, and then the results were integrated, and typically there are about 20 to 60 species observed at each site, and we looked at how the composition of those species changed along environmental gradients that were sampled by those surveys. So this is one panel for each of those environmental variables. The details probably don't matter, but for example, this one is bottom temperature along here, and you can see that these lines represent change in species composition, and at 25 degrees we've got a couple of those surveys showing a very steep change in species composition at around 25 degrees C. And so we use these curves to transform each of the environmental variables from their own scale to a common biological composition scale, and then we map that space. So this scatter plot over here is if you like, a map of the species composition as it relates to axes of environmental variables, and you can see the strong influence there of SST and temperature and oxygen and coming inshore to high areas of higher turbidity and chlorophyll and so forth. And obviously that can be mapped in geographic space as well to give you a broad scale idea of the change in composition as it relates to the environment. So that map of composition up in the top left, we clustered that space into 125 separate strata to assist with the seabed survey design. So here's those 125 strata there, and we picked a typical location in each one of those strata for sampling, and we successfully towed a video sled at each one of those sites. We succeeded in towing 111 benthic sleds on those, and we aimed to trawl about one third of the sites in total, and in the end we succeeded in trawling 43 sites. The videos were done on Linnaeus, and the trawls and most of the sleds were done on the fisheries vessel, the Naturalist. Okay, so there's from the field, there's lots of photos of various seabed habitats, nearly 2,000 samples of benthic invertebrates and fishes from 14 major taxonomic groups. So lots of, and these were all worked through with people from the museum, and the samples have been vouchered and been accessioned into the collections. Okay, so from the field, the broad field data, there's some sort of broad patterns in the sled benthic invertebrates. So the blue shows sponges, so a lot of the samples were dominated by sponges. The biomass was dominated by sponges, and I guess second was probably the, so the sponges are in blue and the echinoderms are in the magenta colour, and so there are lots of echinoderms out there as well as many others. Green areas are marine plants. So the trawl samples, mostly dominated by various kinds of benthic fishes, and also large catches of sponges indicated by the blue in the trawls. Okay. From the video, most of the habitat, seabed habitat in the region, or the substratum was sandy as indicated by the yellow areas. Some muddy areas over here in the grey and down here near Onslow, and the orange and red colours indicate the harder sediments from gravel through to rocky kinds of sediment. Should try and use this laser. Hey? Okay, in the most in terms of biological habitat, most sites were relatively devoid of visible biological habitat, as indicated by the white pie diagrams. Some of them had large areas of biotabated sediments in the grey. Again, the blue represents sponge gardens, and the pink and red colours indicate various kinds of Gorgonian gardens on the seabed. And again, green is various kinds of marine plant habitat. Okay, so just in summary, these are the major groups that were where the samples were fully sorted through to species, and you can see that the sponges were also the most diverse as well as dominating the biomass. Okay, and then wherever we could, we analysed the distribution of species in those data sets with those 44 environmental variables to try and predict the distributions across the region. And so I'm just going to show you a couple of examples of those. So the first two are a couple of congeneric Lethrinus species, quite similar species yet very divergent distributions. A leather jacket here and a flathead down in the southwest area. Okay, some benthic invertebrates, solitary corals, and a bunch of gastropods there. Okay, so there's from the seabed sampling, there's about 185 maps like this that are available for use. Okay, so we use these new data to update the regional biophysical characterisation again in the same way that we did it before. So, and we found much the same pattern, which was also comforting. There are subtle differences. That the analysis suggested that 10 different assemblages or ecoregions were justifiable for the region. So within each one of these areas, you know, there's an expectation that the composition of seabed or species on the seabed would be quite similar within each of those. And various things can be done with maps like this. For example, we could overlay the marine protected areas in this region over those plots and quantify the representation of each of those assemblages in those areas. So we find that areas or assemblage 7, which is out here near the Murians, has the highest representation in sanctuary areas, and number 2, which is down here, has the highest representation in recreation areas. We had data for trawling through the region, and we found that 10% of assemblage 1, so this area down here, 10% of assemblage 1 was exposed to trawling in that region. Okay. All right, so lots of data all in total. I won't go into detail on this slide, just to point out that, you know, these species distribution data are available. Probably more than 35 new species were identified out of those samples, 185 maps in total of species, the assemblage maps, and we identified important variables in the region that seem to be associated with these patterns, being temperature, nutrients, salinity, and so forth. So there's some variables there that would suggest that if the region warms with climate change, then there could be some changes in the distributions of things through the region. So this project is the seabed project is essentially finished, and the final report is available. Okay, reefs. All right, so a similar characterisation for stratification initially. In this case, we divided the area into 14 strata to assist the distribution of 14 days of sampling on the initial field trips. And a range of methods were applied, so habitat photo surveys, algal weights were extracted from quad rats, census of the cover of habitat such as corals and marine plants, macroinvertebrate counts, and counts of fishes on various sizes of transects. Okay, some of those methods in action. And then across those different types of methods, various numbers of sites were sampled and identified varying numbers of species. And again, from those distribution data, we analysed against the environmental variables to produce predicted distributions wherever we could. So a couple of similar coral trout species here, first up, with again, you know, quite divergent distributions in those two. A surgeon fish and a wrasse for a couple of others, and some benthic invertebrates, some acropora corals, sargassum algae, halimeter algae, and a sea urchin for some others to compare with. So there's nearly 100 maps of species from the reef survey data sets. Okay, so again, similar kind of characterisation method was applied to the reef data. You can see the distribution of the sites throughout the region that were surveyed, and so we see that the composition of species on the reefs are associated with two major axes of the environment. So we get a strong temperature gradient or change in composition along a temperature gradient, and also in the direction of lower salinity. So we see that composition changes sort of continuously down this way and then out towards the Monte Bellows out here, and the Muron Islands seem to have a composition that's sort of somewhere similar to these guys here. Okay, again, these analyses suggested that probably 8 assemblage types were justifiable. And again, you can do similar things with maps like this, such as overlay them with the MPAs in the region, and we see that type number 8 out here at the Monte Bellows was the one that had the highest level of protection in sanctuary areas, followed by number 7, which is down here at the Murons. Okay, most of the other assemblage types had very little or essentially no protection in highly protected areas. Okay, so this kind of information can assist management with various kinds of things, such as some of the evaluations of current MPA zoning that I showed you some examples of. It could be used to assist planning with any other future spatial management that might be required, assessment of proposed development areas in the region, and for overlapping exposure to various other kinds of anthropogenic risk factors, such as the exposure to trawling that I showed before. Could be other fishing, could be other kinds of uses in the area. Okay, thanks very much.